by Vacheron. Or as the French say, Vacheron.
I'm Brian Brown, and this is The Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less. You're listening to Voice of Vacheron, which is VOV in text talk. Our call letters are KVSH. That's Kvish, not Kvetch. At 101.9 on your FM dial. All VOV programming is transmitted from our state-of-the-art cinder block studio, poised on the crest of Sunrise Ridge in the shadow of mighty Mount Rainier.
108-year-old Evelyn Jones made history at Safeco Field this summer when she became the oldest person in Major League Baseball to throw out the first pitch. Now, normally, Mariner prospects are called up from Tacoma AAA, but Evelyn made the jump to the bigs directly from the Fairwind Brittany Park retirement home. The veteran left-hander agreed to throw out the first pitch only after being assured that Medicare would cover Tommy John surgery. It's been my intention to get out to Safeco Field before the Mariners are mathematically eliminated. This means I may have to get out there quickly. Do you follow the Mariners, Truman?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're easy to follow. They don't go anywhere.
Yeah, exactly right.
They've been in second to last place for almost the entire season. A friend of mine went out to Safeco for the last Mariner homestand against the Toronto Blue Jays. It's his contention that a disproportionate number of Blue Jay fans coming down from B.C. turned out because it's now legal to smoke marijuana in the enlightened state of Washington. I don't know if it's legal to smoke in the ballpark, but my friend said he saw joints being passed in the bleachers. As Willie Nelson recently observed, the world's going to pot.
I can tell the world's gone to hell, and we're sure gonna miss it a lot. All the whiskey in Lynchburg, Tennessee, just couldn't hit the spot. I got $100 bill, friend, you keep your pills, cause it's all going to pot. That cackle babble head in the box must think I'm dumb as a rock. Reading me the news while I'm kicking off my shoes, and it's scaring me out of my socks. Admitted a stranger, I'm not. But buddy, let me tell you what. If you ask old Will, they say, here's the deal, friends, it's all going to pot. Well, it's all going to pot, whether we like it or not. Best I can tell, the world's gone to hell, and we're all gonna miss it a lot. All the whiskey in Lynchburg, Tennessee, just couldn't hit the spot. Got $100 bill, you can keep your pills, friend, it's all going to pot.
Hey, before we give up on the Mariners, consider the historic 1995 season. That's 20 years ago.
Yeah.
As late as August 24 of that year, the Mariners were 11.5 games behind the first-place Los Angeles Angels, 11.5 back, with only 36 games left in the season. A come-from-behind victory against the Yankees on August 24th triggered one of the most amazing stretch drives in baseball history. The Mariners went on to win 25 of their last 36 games. They became the team that refused to lose and ended up in a flat-foot tie with the Angels, necessitating a one-game playoff. Catch the magic. Here's a postseason highlight from 20 years ago, as described by the legendary Mariner announcer Dave Niehaus.
Down a fastball, swung on and hit the deep center field. And it is! Get out the rye bread and the mustard this time, Grandma! It is a grand salami! I don't believe it! My, oh my!
As Yogi Berra once said, it ain't over till it's over. Even if, in fact, it is almost over. I mean, it's not a good sign when we start to trade players at this point in the season for prospects to be named later. The thing about baseball is that it generates conversation. Endless conversation. This song we're about to play is dated by the players' names, but it captures endless magic of the game. Talking Baseball.
His kids had won it, Bobby Thompson had done it, and Yogi read the comics all the while. Rock and roll was being born, marijuana we would scorn, so down on the corner the national pastime went on trial. We're talking baseball, Klazuski Campanella, talking baseball, the man and Bobby fella, the scooter, the barber and the nuke. They knew them all from Boston to Dubuque, especially Willie, Mickey and the Duke. Well, Casey was winning, Hank Aaron was beginning, one Robbie going out, one coming in. Kiner and Midget Goodell, the Thumper and Mel Parnell, and Ike was the only one winning down in Washington. I'm talking baseball, Klazuski Campanella, talking baseball, the man and Bobby fella, the scooter, the barber and the duke. They knew them all from Boston to Dubuque, especially Willie, Mickey and the Duke. Now my old friend, the bachelor, well, he swore he was the Oklahoma kid, and Cookie played hooky to go and see the Duke. And me, I always loved Willie Mae. Those were the days. Well, now it's the 80s, and Brett is the greatest, and Bobby Bonds can play for everyone. Rose is at the vet, Rusty again is a Met, and the great Alexander is pitching again in Washington. I'm talking baseball, like Reggie, Grease and Berry. Talking baseball, Carew and Gaylord Perry, Seaver, Garvey, Schmidt and Vida Blue. If Cooperstown is calling, it's no fluke, they'll be with Willie, Mickey and the Duke. It was Willie, Mickey and the Duke.
Say hey, say hey, say hey.
I'm talking Willie, Mickey and the Duke.
Say hey, say hey, say hey.
Willie, Mickey and the Duke.
Say hey, say hey, say hey, say hey.
I was interested in a news story back in July about the infamous drug kingpin known as El Chapo, who escaped from Mexico's highest security prison. El Chapo, a.k.a. Shorty, exited the Mexican penitentiary through a mile-long tunnel burrowed for him under the prison right into the floor of his bathroom. Authorities say it took more than a year to dig the tunnel, and this got me thinking. A year is a long time, particularly when you're doing time. But a year is a lot faster than the progress Big Bertha is making in her attempt to bore her way under the Seattle-Alaska Way viaduct. The monster drill is now 2 years behind schedule and currently at a standstill. Have you been following Bertha Truman?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Amazing, isn't it?
She's easy to follow because she's not going anywhere.
No kidding.
In that sense, they're a lot like the Mariners. So far, Bertha has bored only 12% of the 9,270 feet of the proposed tunnel. Her estimated completion date was recently moved to March 2018 at a cost to taxpayers estimated in the gazillions. Question, wouldn't it be faster and cheaper to replace Bertha with those guys who dug El Chapo's tunnel?
I think it would. It's a good plan.
I mean, Shorty would still be in prison if he was waiting on Bertha. The Mexicans who dug El Chapo's tunnel obviously knew how to bore. Okay, this may mean hiring illegals with criminal records, but couldn't we give them a work permit or even citizenship if they completed the Seattle Viaduct Tunnel on schedule and under budget? Providing incentive is what the free market is all about, is it not? just a suggestion. All right, this just in. The old spaghetti factory in Seattle will soon be turned into Spaghetti Light, thanks to a $9 million purchase by thousands of anti-gluten zealots who pulled their monthly allowances. Just kidding. Here on Vashon, do you think anyone will ever purchase the K2 building or convert it into something else? How many years has that thing been vacant, Truman?
Oh, my gosh, I'm trying to think. It's... I think it's going on 8 or 9 years. It's a long time. Oh, my gosh.
After months of drought, it's hard to believe that we once manufactured skis for a sport that required something called snow.
No kidding.
Hey, Vashon Island, do you know we live in what is known as the Cascadia Subduction Zone? It's a fault line. Actually, CSZ is the mother of all fault lines. It makes California's San Andreas Fault look downright puny in both distance and density. The Cascadia Subduction Zone runs 700 miles off the coast of the Pacific Northwest. Beginning in Mendocino, California, CSZ goes through a coastal Oregon and Washington before terminating under Vancouver Island in British Columbia. So what's that to us? Well, if an earthquake occurs, say something with a magnitude of 8.7 to 9.2, I mean, we're talking about the big one here. If an earthquake of that magnitude occurred, seismologists predict everything west of I-5 would be toast. Say what? That earthquake, which scientists say would trigger a tsunami, will obliterate coastal Oregon and Washington. When will it happen? Within 50 years, predict the seismologist. The odds for what scientists call a full margin rupture, FMR, is that a chilling expression?
It is.
Full margin rupture, yes. Rupture within the next half century is currently 1 in 10. The odds for a smallest quake, but major by any measure, let's say magnitude 8.0 to 8.6, is 1 in 3. How likely is a major quake in the next 50 years? It's not a question of if, but when, contends paleoseismologist Chris Goldfinger of Oregon State University. Professor Goldfinger is a recognized authority on this little-known or studied Cascadia fault line. Goldfinger's predictions appear in the July 20 issue of the New Yorker magazine, Did you read that article, Truman?
I just read excerpts, yeah. Pretty amazing, though. Wow.
Chilling. And I have to thank you for sending that to me over right. the internet. God, I couldn't stop reading.
Right.
A reaction to the New Yorker article was swift. Mail order sales of earthquake kits stuffed with flashlights, whistles, granola bars have jumped in the Northwest. Some critics have dismissed this as earthquake hysteria, comparing it to the K2 hype 15 years ago. Do you remember K2?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Writing in the Beachcomber, Abe Bergman cited the $15 million to make Vashon's ferry dock more earthquake resistant, an example of this overreaction. Here on the Brown Briefly, your radio host has decided to address the fear of the big one by meeting the problem head on. I've taken the bold step. Brace yourself, Truman.
I'm ready.
I've taken the bold step of canceling my subscription to the New Yorker. This will serve the magazine right for upsetting us folks who live on or near the Cascadia subduction zone. There's been a lot of discussion and debate about minimum wage going up to $15 an hour here in Seattle. Now we have a Seattle CEO named Dan Price who upped the ante by increasing his employees' minimum salary to $70,000 a year and slashed his own $1 million pay package to do it. Price told the Seattle Times the idea of the quantum increase came to him when a friend shared her worries about paying both her rent and student loans on a $40,000 salary. Price realized many of his 120 employees at the credit card processing firm Gravity Payments were earning less than that. When he chose $70,000 as a salary floor, the CEO said he was also influenced by research showing that the annual income could make an enormous difference in someone's emotional well-being by easing nagging financial stress. You know, we're talking about child care payments, alimony, student loans, medical, dental bills, mortgages, and grinding commutes. Employees were stunned. Those making less than $70,000 at the Ballard-based credit card company were flabbergasted. Price's bold move went viral. Talk show hosts lined up to interview Price. Job seekers by the thousands sent in resumes. Harvard business professors flew out to conduct case study, and single woman wanted to date him.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Observe the Seattle Times. Almost overnight, a decision by one small businessman in the northwestern corner of the country became a swashbuckling blow against income inequality, end quote. Outspoken skeptics like Rush Limbaugh, who I'm guessing makes a salary in six figures, smell the socialist agenda. Indeed, two of Price's most valued employees quit. These managers were spurred in part by their view that it was unfair to double the pay of some new hires, serving staff members got small or no raises. All this reminded me of the parable of the workers in the vineyard from the Gospel of St. Matthew. Laborers hired at sunup were upset when their pay was the same as those who signed on just before quitting time. In the kingdom of heaven, it may well be, in the words of Jesus, that the first will be last and the last will be first. But this will not fly on earth, where rewards are generally bestowed in the form of paychecks. Without passing judgment, let me cut to the bottom line. Before Price's announcement, Gravity had been adding 200 clients a month. In June, 350 signed up. I thought it appropriate to end this segment of the Brown Briefly with a tribute to those of us out there who can't seem to get ahead in the old world no matter how hard we work. If you think this CD is dated, let's say you just put in an 80-hour work week at Amazon.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones.
a mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning when the sun didn't shine. I picked up my shovel and I walked to the mine. I loaded 16 tons, a number 9 coal, and the straw boss said, well, bless my soul, you load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning, it was drizzling rain. Fighting and trouble are my middle name. I was raised in the canebrake by an old mama lion. Can't know a high-toned woman make me walk the line. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. If you see me coming, better step aside. A lot of men didn't, a lot of men died. One fist of iron, the other of steel. If the right one don't get you, then the left one will. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Did you know this is the 46th anniversary of Woodstock Festival? Do you realize that?
I did. I just saw that, yeah.
The first performer that historic day was a soulful blues singer, a guy named Richie Haven. Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He opened with this memorable rendition of a song called Freedom. So, take us home, Richie.
Guitar of Mike, please. Guitar Mike. Sometimes I feel like I'm old.
clap your hand, 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 yeah, clap your hand. Hey, 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 yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. I got a telephone in my bosom, and I can call him from my heart.
Thank you.